Hello and welcome to Off Curve. I'm Wookie Good, and I am talking to you about Hearthstone as I am driving home from work. It is Tuesday, June 10th, or not June. What am I doing? It's not June, it's July. It's too hot for June. It's July 10th, 2018. If you follow me on Twitter, I tweeted out last week that you probably don't notice, hopefully, that I can't run the air conditioner when I'm recording this podcast, because if I do that, then basically the air from the AC just blows on my mic the whole time, and that's pretty much all you hear. So that's why I had to record last week a little bit late, and according to my car, it's 97 degrees right now. And I am recording anyway because we have important things to discuss. There's actually a lot. I have a lot to talk about this week because, I got to Legend. So, and I'll talk about that in a second. But we also have Boomsday to talk about, which is the Boomsday Project, which is the new expansion announcement that we just got randomly today. So, we're going to talk about all the things. But yes, I got to Legend this week. It was very early on, was it Sunday? It was Sunday. Yeah, it was Sunday that I got to Legend. I was messing around with a few different things. Like, I was still trying the Shutter Walk, but it stopped working. And I think part of that was just that people got better at playing Zoo, and part of it is that got harder to mulligan. Because, you know, what happens when you come up against a class and they have, like, one dominant archetype, you know how you can mulligan. When they have two archetypes that you're seeing pretty much 50-50, and they're not the same kind of play style, like, it's not Control Warlock or Cube Warlock, it gets pretty hard to mulligan. And when you're playing a control deck like Shutterwalk Shaman, mulliganing is pretty important, because if you guess wrong and you don't have the cards in hand that you need, you just lose. So I was running into that a lot. I started mulliganing for Zulok, and then I started seeing a lot of Even Warlock, and then I tried switching to Maligos Druid because I figured if I was going to get rushed down, I would just, you know, get a bunch of armor and not worry about it, and that was not really working out either. So I played a bunch on Saturday, and I was kind of just, you know, win one, lose one, and started losing more than one, and I ended up going from close to rank 2 back down to, like, close to the bottom of rank 4. And I said, you know what, it's time to reset and take a break and figure out if I'm playing the right thing. Like, deck selection is not the be-all and end-all. Like, you can play any deck well to Legend, but, you know, if you're struggling sometimes, A, it just helps to change up, just to kind of shake up your mindset, and also, sometimes it'll help just kind of give you some better matchups across the board. So, on Sunday morning, or Sunday, like, around lunchtime, you know, we were having kind of a lazy day anyway. My wife was sick this weekend, and you know, I was just kind of doing some ironing when I get a bunch of game time in and was watching some HCT. And, you know, I decided, okay, let me try Evenlock. Like, let me just go look at HS Replay again. Like, I talked about the last time that, you know, when I had an Andrew on, I'm not really looking for, you know, what's the best against everything. I'm just kind of looking for what's viable right now. And I saw a lot of Even Warlock. I'd run up against enough Even Warlock to know that it was good. And I decided, you know what, I'm going to try it. And I found a list. I went over to MetaLegend.com. I found a list that Board Control was playing. That, you know, I don't think he advertised it on Twitter, but he was playing it and he submitted his replays. So I tried that, and it worked real well. It was real good. So I was up to Legend in a day. It was like, you know, Andrew and I have a running PM thread, and I knew he was driving back from Wyoming, and from the Happy Hearthstone, and, you know, so, or he was driving through Wyoming, driving back from Washington State, and I was just kind of, like, messaging him every so often, like, oh, yep, this was the right decision, I'm at rank 3, oh, this is really the right decision, I'm at rank 2, oh, hell yeah, this is the right decision. And then a couple hours later, I was at Legend, and it was just, like, it happened so fast, I almost didn't really, like, it's kind of a blur to some extent. Like, I knew that I was playing well, and I knew that I was winning a lot, but it's one of those things when you're not really worried about your rank, you're just playing, and you just kind of start seeing the matrix on it. So I'll talk about seeing the matrix. You know, again, this deck is very good. I ended up going over the course of the day 28-11, which was a 72% win rate, which is ridiculous. Like, anything really above 55% is really good. Anything above 65% is, like, absurd. So, like, a 72% win rate over the course of 40 games is pretty ridiculous. So I'll talk about that. Let's talk about Boomsday first, then I'll go back and talk about Even Warlock, because obviously that's something that, you know, I'm sure some of you want to hear about, because, you know, we have a new expansion coming next month, but we still have this month to get through. So I'll talk about that, but let's talk about Boomsday first, then we can talk about using Even Warlock with that brand new shiny mecha Jiraxxus that you may just have bought. Yeah, so we got an announcement today. We thought it was coming on the 12th, as I said on the last episode that I recorded. It turned out that was, like, something completely unrelated, and, you know, I don't want to be critical, especially because I was really impressed with the announcement today, but the Hearthstone team really needs to get their communication in order. Like, apparently it was some, like, esports location that was opening up or something. I don't know what that 712 was. It seemed kind of weird that it wasn't localized for all the countries. It just kind of came out, and it turned out it was unrelated. But and then they had another snafu this morning where the announcement was supposed to come out. Usually they time their announcements around 1 p.m. Eastern. And I got back from getting my breakfast and was sitting down at my desk for a meeting, and all of a sudden I'm seeing all kinds of stuff happening about Dr. Boom. Like, what? Why are we talking about Dr. Boom? And it turns out he's got a laboratory and he's the star of the next expansion. So I guess it sounds like somebody just kind of put the YouTube video up accidentally and forgot to set it to private. So, you know, it happens. Mistakes happen. So the new expansion is called the Boomsday Project. If you have not watched the video, please go watch the video. The video is, it's campy, but I think it's really well done. Some people thought it was cringy. I thought it was funny, but that's the kind of humor I like too. So, you know, I thought I enjoyed it, but it's basically set in a, you know, an old like 50s sci-fi, you know, mad scientist laboratory and they go through some of the cards that are there. So we're getting a new mechanic called Magnetic, which is going to be a new trait for mechs. And what happens is that if you play it by itself, it's a regular minion. And then if you play it on another mech, then you take the stats and text and you fuse it to the mech that you're playing it on, almost like a zombie's coming out of Rexxar. So the example they gave is Spider Bomb, which is a 3-mana 2/2 mech for Hunter with Magnetic, Death Rattle, destroy a random enemy minion. So you can just play that out as a 3-mana 2/2, which is a little bit overstated for what it is. It's not terrible, though. And, or you can put it on another minion. So if you have, let's say, a Nightmare Amalgam, because that's the closest thing to a spider tank that we have. So turn 3, you throw down an Amalgam. Turn 4, you put this on it, and it turns into a 5/6 with Death Rattle, destroy a random enemy minion. Which is pretty cool. Apparently there are some positioning implications. Like, if you play it on one side of the minion, it plays it by itself. If you play it on the other, then it fuses to the minion that you're playing it on. So there are some positioning implications with Magnetic that are weird. But and what this means to me is that we're about to get a lot more mechs in this expansion, because we really do not have very many. Most of the mechs that were printed for Goblins versus Gnomes. This is like another Goblins versus Gnomes type expansion, and they felt like it was long enough to go back to the well. And by the way, I love Dr. Boom as a character. Like, the card was broken, but he's one of, like, I started playing around the Goblins versus Gnomes and, you know, Blackrock Mountain time, and Dr. Boom, like, that laugh really just kind of tickled me, and I've always kind of liked Dr. Boom as a character. So being able to see, you know, to see more of Dr. Boom, and apparently there's going to be a Dr. Boom hero card that we've not seen the details of for Warrior that I am super excited about, because I love me as much Dr. Boom as I can get. But so we're going to get a lot more mechs in this expansion. We have to, because we really have not had a lot of mechs printed of late. Like, you have Unpowered Steambot, and you have some other things, but a lot of them have rotated out. So that's something to look forward to, and maybe some mech synergies again, which could have implications for Wild also. And then we also have project cards, which are, I guess, going to be kind of like the Spellstones, where, except this one, they all do something for both players. So the example they have is Biology Project. One mana, each player gets two mana crystals. So you can ramp, but you're going to let your opponent ramp too. Do you want to do that? Maybe. If you need a lot of ramp and you're willing to give it to your opponent, then maybe you're willing to do that. We have, you know, Dr. Boom's Lab Assistants. So one of the minions is a legendary Electra Storm Surge, a 3-mana, 3/3 elemental battle cry. Your next spell this turn cast twice. I'm not going into card reviews right now. I'm sure I'll be theory crafting some stuff between now and when I and Andrew record the Happy Hearthstone in a few weeks, doing the card reveals. But you know, that's a pretty cool effect. You know, I'm always interested in some of the, you know, the unique cards. And they also have this these Omega cards that are not, it's not a keyword per se, but it's you know, kind of a group of cards. The one they have is Omega Defender, which is a 2-mana 4/6 taunt, which is fine on its own. And Battle Cry, if you have 10 mana crystals, gain plus 10 attack. So it becomes a 12/6 taunt for 4 mana, which is pretty good. So that kind of gives you cards that have some utility early and are reasonable early, but get very powerful late. Kind of like playing a Lady in White type of card, but you get it as built into the card. Now, is it 10 full mana crystals, or is it 10, you know, mana crystals available to you? I'm not really sure on that. But even then, so ordering may be a bit of an issue. But that, I like that concept too. I like being able to have cards that are late game cards, but also have utility early. It makes for a lot more interesting decision making. So I like that they're thinking that way. And they also are introducing legendary spells. The one they introduced was a rogue spell, 5-mana legendary spell, Myra's Unstable Element. Draw the rest of your deck. Again, I'm not theory crafting yet. I'm not going through card reviews yet, but I am very interested in some of the implications of this card, even though it is going to make my life miserable and Wild, I'm pretty sure. I've already theory crafted a couple of ideas that you could do with it. I think that it's a mistake to think of this as something that you would absolutely want or absolutely not want, because it's a very powerful card with a potentially very powerful downside. But again, I think that it's good to have spells that are one-offs in the deck, because they can make them more powerful. I think we kind of had to get here at some point. When you start looking at like something like Ultimate Infestation, that probably should have been a legendary spell. That arbitrary limitation of, well, you can play, spells can't be legendary. You can always play two spells. Unless you're getting them out of another legendary like Archthief or Fom, there's a throwback for you. I think that was starting to limit them, and I like the fact that they are willing to give us more legendary, more powerful spells, but with a legendary tag attached to it, so it comes with a natural limitation of one per deck. So I like that. I like that they're thinking outside the box. I like that they're trying different things. And I love the theming of this expansion. Like, again, I love Dr. Boom. I like the whole science gone wrong theme. I like the more whimsical expansions. Like, the Witchwood was fine. But a lot of chickens coming out of experiments and, you know, experiments gone wrong are... That's what I'm up for. I am completely here for that. So I like the theming. I like what I've seen from the cards. Like, again, the cards that you're seeing at the initial reveal, these five cards are probably the least exciting of the cards they are going to show us in general. Sometimes there are cards that are revealed in the very initial reveal that do see play. Rin the First Disciple is a good example of those. But you also think of like Pumpkin Peasant. Or, I mean, Militia Commander sees some play, and so does Phantom Militia, but those are kind of, like, the vanilla versions of those mechanics, if you think about it. Like, you know, something like Militia Commander, as opposed to Warpath, are, you know, that those may not be the ones that see play, but I like the variety, I like the theming, and I like the new mechanics in the set. I'm excited. I'm ready for new cards. I'm ready to shake up the meta. All right, so just a couple of logistical things about the expansion you probably want to keep in mind. If you're following this stuff, you probably know this, but just worth keeping in mind. Again, you can pre-order as of today. There will be a new patch out with along with some of the changes to the creature types of a couple of minions, and a couple of bug fixes that hopefully will not be like the test bug fix. That wasn't a bug fix. So you can go into the store and buy that today. There are actually two bundles to choose from this time. One is the $50 bundle that we're accustomed to that gives you 50 packs, and it will also give you a golden legendary and the card back. There is also a mecha bundle, which is $80 for 80 packs, and that also comes with a golden legendary, and it gives you the mecha Jiraxxus hero portrait. So if that's something you want, and you're inclined to spend that much money on packs anyway, I think you should probably, if you're planning on being competitive, I would suggest you buy one bundle or the other. Just because it's hard to catch up, and if you're spending enough time in the game to be competitive, it's probably worth investing, you know, the equivalent of a console game every 4 months or so. If you're, you know, hyper competitive, the 80 pack bundle is probably good, or if you just want the Mecha Jiraxxus hero portrait, I will probably be buying that when I get home, because that sounds awesome, and I also just got to Legend with Warlock, so I feel like I need to celebrate that a little bit. But, you know, either way, you still get the three free packs and the legendary for logging in after the expansion goes live, and you still get a legendary in the first 10 packs. So this is, I do like them doing this. Like, I feel there was a complaint a while back that the bundle didn't really feel like it gave you enough, and giving you a golden legendary. So this is what's important about this, right? The fact that it's a golden legendary means that you can choose the legendary that you want. So normally I recommend not dusting a legendary that is still in standard, and to a lesser extent, the ones that are playable in Wild, which is why I put together that Year of the Mammoth dusting guide a while back. Because, you know, everyone who says they are not going to want to play Wild eventually finds a reason to play Wild sooner or later, usually. But the fact that they're giving you a Golden Legendary with that bundle means that you can dust that, get 1600 dust if it's not what you want, and go craft the Legendary that you do want. So if you do have your eye on a particular Legendary out of this set, what the bundle is saying is, hey, you can either have a really shiny version of the one we give you, or you can dust it and go get the legendary that you want, and be assured you have that on day one. Or, if that legendary turns out to be trash, you can dust it later, and then you can always open it up again in a regular pack. So, I would really look at that. I mean, again, the legendaries are not as critical as they have been, but I think the fact that it's a golden legendary means that it can either be a golden legendary, or it can be 1600 dust to go get the legendary of your choosing. That's really, really important. So again, if you're inclined to buy a bundle, I would strongly recommend it. You also, by the way, can buy both if you're inclined to spend $130. And that would give you two golden legendaries, which means two legendaries of your choice. I don't know that I would recommend that necessarily, but I would definitely recommend buying one or the other for a lot of reasons. But guaranteeing you're going to get at least two legendaries, guaranteeing that you're going to get two more from the, you know, just logging in and then from the bundle, and then one of those legendaries being able to turn into a legendary that you know you want, that's a lot of value for your money. So I would absolutely, I always recommend getting the bundle if you're serious, but this time it's almost a no-brainer. And I would 100% recommend doing it if you're playing this game seriously enough to be listening to, let's be honest, a second tier Hearthstone podcast, because I'm no Angry Chicken or Coin Concede or Velen's Chosen. Like, you come to me after you get through all the other ones, right? So, if you're listening to this show, you're probably serious enough about the game that the investment is worth it to you, and I would recommend, you know, finding a way to get that to happen. I believe you can also use, like, WoW Gold and stuff like that to convert it into credit. I don't know enough about that because I don't do that, but I don't play WoW, but, you know, that might be a thing to look at as well. So, good news. It's apparently, according to my car, has dropped to 87. Since my car is no longer baking in the sun, so I'm not dying. I am sweating, but I'm not dying. So, since I'm not dying, let's talk about Even Warlock. Since that unexpectedly got me way up to Legend real quick this month. And I think that it's, you know, Vicious Syndicate recommended it as what they called a stress-free choice for laddering to legend. And I don't know that I would go so far as to say stress-free. But I would say that it is a very, very strong deck when piloted correctly. And the thing that I've tried Even Warlock a couple of times, and what I learned from watching a couple of replays of board controls, what I learned from watching it played in HCT, and just from playing a few different builds of it, is that I was playing it wrong. And once I started playing it correctly, then I started winning with it more. So let's talk about the list, and then we'll talk about how you can play it optimally. So the list that I played, again, that was one that Board Control was playing, and it's got one copy of Acidic Swamp Ooze because there are enough weapons in the meta that you need to destroy, like Twig of the World Tree, like the occasional Skull of the Minari, and basically anything that Paladin has. And Rogues, you generally want to drop this on to disrupt the Hench Clan Thug turn. So it's good having one Ooze, but I don't think you need two right now. Two Defiles, because it's one of Warlock's best board clears. You run one Doomsayer just to kind of set yourself up to be able to drop, like, a big minion the next turn. You're not a control deck, but you play control cards. But you really don't want to. Stubborn Gastropod is a new inclusion to the list. I run two of them in this list, which is the 1/2 taunt with Poisonous. And it's really good just at being able to protect your other minions, and also in the mirror, because what happens is that one of you is going to get the giant down first, and if you can just respond to that or preemptively the turn before they play their giant, throw a gastropod down, that makes them take a turn off to deal with it, or just play, because they can't play into it, and then you have freedom to be able to develop yours and kind of get the upper hand in that matchup. So I really like the Stubborn Gastropods in the list. You have two Sun Fury Protectors, which can give your Mountain Giants and your Twilight Drakes taunt. You have two Vulgar Homunculi? I don't know what the plural is. This is an English class, but anyway. Because you, again, it's a really good taunt. It comes back from Gul'dan. It also hits you in the face, which gets you closer to being able to activate your Hooked Reavers. And it's a solid body. You have two Hellfires because it's the best. It's one, again, your premium board clear, and it helps you get rid of things like Saronite Chain Gangs, of which there are a ton. It helps you get rid of opposing Voidwalkers, which apparently are a thing now that Zoo is back. Helps you deal with things like Manitai Totems. It helps you deal with Hench Clan Thugs if they're not able to activate it. You know, it deals with a board of 3/3s out of Paladin. There are a lot of ways that you can use Hellfire. You are not using Hellfire defensively. We'll talk about this, but you are not a control deck. And that's what's really important about this, understanding playing this deck properly. What you're generally doing is you're using Hellfire for Burst for Lethal, or you're using Hellfire to clear a board and get board control back. You're not sitting back and clearing repeatedly. You have two Hooked Reavers because you're very often hitting yourself in the face and tapping and getting yourself down to 15 very quickly. And I've heard that 4-mana 7/7s are pretty good. You have two Lesser Amethyst Spellstones because you eventually do need to heal up back from down below 15, and also it's one of the best removal spells in the game for single target removal. You have two Shroom Brewers that can help with some of the late healing as well. You have two Spellbreakers because you need silences. You have two Twilight Drakes because you're going to have a full hand, and that gives you a minion with a really big butt. One Dread Infernal, just as a one-of, it still triggers your Spellstone, and it gives you a big body coming back from Gul'dan, but two of them, there are enough other things you want to run at the sixth slot that we'll get into a second that you don't really want to run two of them. Gengraimane, because you're running an even deck, you kind of need them. Skulking Geist is really, really good right now. Like, really, really good. Like, I thought that Skulking Geist was stupid to play in a non-control deck, but in this deck, boy, howdy does it work well. Because, basically, if you think about what the meta looks like right now, like, a lot of the swing turns or burst damage is coming out of one mana spells. So think about, like, what's in the meta. First of all, it just wipes out, like, a quarter of Spell Hunter's deck, because you wipe out Hunter's Marks, Arcane Shots, Tracking, There's probably one other that I'm not thinking of. If they're Recruit Hunter, you're wiping out Play Dead. If it's Two Block, you're running out Dark. You're getting rid of Dark Pact. If it's any Druid, you're probably getting rid of Naturalizes and Spellstones, which, by the way, is one of the things you need to watch out for with this deck, because very often Druid will try to naturalize you when you have a lot of cards and try to burn cards and remove a minion at the same time. So getting rid of that takes care of that. You get rid of Soulfires out of Zoo. You get rid of Coldbloods and Deadly Poisons out of Rogue. You get rid of Blessing of Might out of Paladin. Now, against aggro, it's not great, but it's not bad, right? Like, the thing with Skulking Geist is that you just want it to do something. You want it to have some impact and not just be a 6-mana 4/6. And against almost everything except in against other even decks and against, like, big spell mage, it does work. It does something. Do you want to be playing it against aggro? Not really. But you sure as heck are gonna prioritize getting it out against, like, a druid. Because not having to worry playing around naturalize is huge. So I really felt like Geist overperformed for me. You run the Black Knight because there's a lot of taunts in the meta. Again, Sour Knight Chain Gang is everywhere. Taunt Druid, you still see sometimes. Even Spreading Plagues are decent to deal with. Tar Creepers are around. You have Hooked Reavers in the mirror. There's a lot of taunts. Black Knight deals with one very efficiently and allows you to develop a 4/5 behind it. Lich King is just a really good body. Blood Reaver Gul'dan is a card you're going to play because it's even. You have a lot of demons, and you run the two Mountain Giants because you have a big hand and you want to be able to drop Mountain Giant on 3 because you can go tap on 1, tap on 2, and then with the coin you play a 3 drop. So that is the list. I'll take a breather for a second, then we'll talk about some strategy. So as far as playing even Warlock, what you really need to understand is that you are playing a mid-range deck, and that may be something that I would imagine a lot of people who have played or are listening to this may not have actually ever played a mid-range deck. I was talking to Ridiculous Hat about this, and really, we have not had a true mid-range deck in such, basically since patches came out. Because, I mean, even then, you did have, like, Tempo Dragon Priest. But a lot of what we've had has really been just sit-back control, or it's been heavy aggro, and we really haven't had a true mid-range deck, like Combo Druid, or, you know, Dragon Priest, or even, like, Dragon Warrior back in the day. Like, we haven't had a deck like that in a really long time. And generally what you're trying to do as a mid-range deck is you're trying to snowball a board, but you're winning not so much in, like, one big push like aggro does, but you're more just presenting typically 1 to 2 big threats every turn. And your goal is to pressure your opponent and make them answer your threats. And sometimes that means trading in the mid game, in the early game, in the mid game, to establish board control. But your goal is always to be putting down threat after threat and making your opponent answer them, and eventually they run out of answers. That is the goal of a mid-range deck, and this even Warlock in particular. Like, The misconception about this deck is that you throw down Mountain Giant on 3 and you win. And that is very often not the case. Very often, like, this deck is popular enough that your opponents will have answers for Mountain Giant on 3. A lot of the times. And there are a lot of answers in the meta. There's Polymorph. There's Hex. There's Vilespine Slayer. There's Execute. Execute is probably a bad example. You Naturalize, we've already talked about. There are a lot of answers. Even just like an Odd Pally, you can just kind of trade it off and keep going. But the thing is that it needs to be answered. And what you're trying to do is you're not trying to win off that one Mountain Giant, though you be sure that that Mountain Giant goes face as much as it possibly can. Because you always want to be connecting for 8 with it if you can. And sometimes you'll use your other minions to protect the Mountain Giant. But you really do want to be presenting a threat behind it, and then another threat, and then another threat, and once every turn, you're putting out a big bomb and making your opponent deal with it, or you're healing up your big bomb and then getting more value out of it. So generally the game plan against a control deck is you're going to hard mulligan for Mountain Giant and Twilight Drake, and you're going to do your best to get it out on turn 3 or 4, because tap, and coin will make it 3 mana with 10 cards in your hand. And you get it out on turn 4 on the play. So, and you can play 1 card there in the middle. So, you want to make sure that you're presenting that constant pressure. And then you also are going to be bringing yourself down in your life total. And this is really the key that, that flipped the switch for me, because I was healing way too early with the deck. And it's a natural thing, because you're, especially when you're playing against something that's not an aggro deck. Against aggro, it's a little different. We'll get into that in a second. But against anything that's like a mirror or control, like the thing to understand about playing this deck that will help you a lot is you really don't have to worry about being close to 15 mana, 15 health rather, because your opponent is not going to, unless you're within burst range, your opponent's not going to attack your face and bring your life total down because they don't want your Hooked Reavers to come out. And like a good opponent is going to be playing around Hooked Reaver a lot of the time, and a bad opponent's going to get surprised by Hooked Reaver and you win anyway. So sometimes what happens, and it's weird, is you'll end up with an awkward hand where Shroom Brewer is really your only 4-drop and you need to play it, but you don't want to heal your face with it if you can help it. Generally, what you're doing is you're going to target another minion, or you might even target your opponent's face if you haven't done very much face damage to them. Because all of that is preferable to healing yourself up and bringing yourself away from Hooked Reaver. Which is also why you want to kind of save your spell stones for later in the game, if you can. Because you don't really need the healing, and you don't want to heal up. And then it's going to take you that much longer to get back down close to 15. So you're kind of aiming to get yourself down to 15 as much as you can. And then drop your Hooked Reavers and then heal yourself back up after you've played at least one, if not both, Hooked Reavers. And keeping that in mind will help you a lot, because I definitely made that mistake and was just like, oh, I got to heal up because I have a Shroom Brewer, may as well heal my face. No, it sometimes makes sense to waste the battle cry, or heal a minion is better. Like, honestly, like the best thing you can do with a Shroom Brewer in the early to mid game is heal up your Mountain Giant or your Twilight Drake, because that's going to actually get more value out of it, and it's better for you in the long run with Hooked Reaver on the horizon than it is to heal your own face and bring you further away from that. So you're generally just trying to pressure. You're trying to set up awkward boards that the opponent can't really clear. Like, you want to play around Volcano and Meteor as much as you can. You want to be presenting more than 15 health on board against a Shaman. You want to be positioning your minions correctly so that you have like another 4 health minion next to a Mountain Giant or whatever, so if they meteor, they don't get an easy clear, those types of things. And then just keep pressuring and keep hitting them in the face as much as you can. And, you know, between that and the tapping, it usually tends to work out. And you want to use your Hellfires again to clear taunts that are in the way or for burst lethal. Like, don't forget Hellfire when you're calculating up a lethal. Against aggro, the plan's a little bit different. You are going to be the control in this matchup, which does not still doesn't mean that you can play a control deck, but you are going to play a little bit more conservatively. So you're going to be mulliganing for Defiles and Hellfires. You're going to be looking for a 2-drop taunt to play out. And I actually found that you don't go tap Mountain Giant against aggro as much, because honestly, the Mountain Giant really doesn't do very much for you in aggro against an aggro deck, because it can only trade off one minion. They usually have multiple on board, and it doesn't have taunt unless you have a Sun Fury to play down next to it. And even if you do, by the time you can do that, they can Vile Spine it. They can, you know, play Tarim if they've gotten it off of a Stonehill Defender. There's a lot of things that they can do to just get rid of it and keep going. So what you want to do typically is you want to tap on one, and you want to tap on like the odd turns. So you want to be fitting in a card along with it, even if you have a giant, because the giant can always come down later for later pressure. But like your Vulgar Homunculus can trade usually 2 or 3 for one, and your Stubborn Gastrophod will just take out a minion on its own. And sometimes you can just go, you know, tap on turn one into Doomsayer turn two, and that's good enough, right? So you want to be healing a little bit more aggressively, because they are going to be less likely to care about your Hooked Reavers, and they can probably burst you down a lot more easily. You want to get your guys down when you can. You want to be using your spell stones to remove problematic minions, but being kind of tactical about it and not just throwing it down, you know, just to heal up. But you want to be thinking about what their big threats are and then answering those. You know, save Hellfire for a level up turn. Save a Spellstone for a Henchclan Thug or a Cobalt Scalebane, those types of things. And, you know, don't go all in on the Giant plan, but do put the Giants down as you can. And again, we talked about sequencing a lot last week. Sequencing is very important in this deck. Because if you play a card before Mountain Giant, it's going to make the Mountain Giant one more expensive. So there are going to be times that you're going to say, play Mountain Giant into a Defile, because if you play the Defile first, you're not going to be able to get the Mountain Giant down. And sometimes that's fine. An 8-5 is still a very good minion. It's not an 8-8, but, you know, it's still an 8-5, and that's fine. So, you know, you have to be really considering your turn. And again, you want to be tapping first as much as you can, because that can change your game plan. So you want to be thinking out your turns, ideally 2 or 3 turns ahead, but certainly on the turn you're doing it. Again, like we talked about last week with sequencing, you want to plan out your turn, tap first to see if it changes anything, and then make sure that you're doing everything in the optimal order. That's going to be rewarded a lot in this deck as well. But I think that this is, I mean, obviously I think this is a very strong deck in the meta. It's a very strong deck in general, and I think that if you learn it, it will also teach you a lot of good things about sequencing that we talked about last week that will help you just become a better player in general. And it'll also teach you to play against it, because you're going to see a lot of it. It also does benefit, I was talking to Cream Puff on Twitter today, it does benefit from Zoo to some extent, because Zoo is making people mulligan badly, and then you can kind of take advantage of that. And also just the fact that it's not really easily counterable. Like a lot of the aggro and control decks right now have fairly straightforward counters. There really isn't a good predator for even Warlock other than maybe like Miracle Rogue, which is really isn't around that much on the ladder as I've seen lately. So you have answers for everything. And I really felt like I never felt like, you know, horribly unfavored. Like, there are better and worse matchups, to be sure, but I never went into a matchup thinking I had no chance, which sometimes was the case with Shadowwatch Shaman, which sometimes was the case with Druid, which sometimes was the case with aggro. You know, you feel like you at least have a chance if you play everything well and you get your draws to win any matchup, and that's pretty much all you're asking for in a meta like this. So, I would recommend it. I hopefully will get to stream it at some point this week. I don't know when, but I'm kind of focusing on Wild a little bit, trying to vary into this in Wild to see if it works out, and maybe because Fellfire Potion's pretty good at clearing Spreading Plague, just saying. But go give it a try, and you know, be mindful with the deck, and I think it really rewards good technical play. So it'll help you become a better player in the process. All right, so that's all I have for this week. I think I will plan to do the rearview mirror of the Witchwood next week. I'll start going through my spreadsheets from the last expansion. I've already started up the spreadsheet for my review with Andrew over at the Happy Hearthstone, which you should hear the... generally, we release the first part of that, like the Monday night or the Tuesday morning before the set releases, so you can look forward to that in a couple of weeks. As a reminder, this is probably the last time I'm going to be talking about specific cards on this show. I will be talking about other things related to the expansion as they come up, and I may, again, I know I got a question, from Twitter that I will try to address in one of these episodes over the next couple of weeks that, I don't want to take the time now because this is already a long episode. But we'll do that, coming soon in one of these upcoming episodes. And, you know, so that's basically a very, very long-winded way of saying that if you are listening to too many card reveals episodes already, I will try to help you with that and give you something different to listen to. And if you are here looking for card reviews from me, you will hear them on the Happy Hearthstone, not on this show. So, but go do listen to that. If you subscribe to Andrew's Patreon over there, you can get access to you can get access to the spreadsheet before we go live and other, you know, patron benefits, and he just opened Discord, so you should go do that. But other than that, you can find, as always, the links to everything that I talk about, or whatever I remember that I've talked about by the time I post the episode, if we're being honest, at offcurve.com. You can subscribe to the Twitter account, which is at offcurve, for show, for announcements of when new episodes go live, and you can also... you can also send at or DMs with questions that you would like addressed on the show over the next couple weeks. I imagine that I should have some free space to be able to do some of that. So, and I've already got a bit, you know, I've already got one in the queue. So if you have questions you want answered over the next couple of weeks, you know, that's the time to do it. The more content you give me to make, the more content I can make. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at WickedGood. I will probably have some hot takes on the cards on that account, not on Off Curve. So if you're looking for hot takes, that is the place where you will find, that is the place where you will find them. You can also find me streaming on my Twitch account at WickedGoodFM. I did a Shutterwalk Shaman coaching session with Daring Alkaline from the Daring Reporter that went very, very well. I think we only dropped like one game through the whole like hour and a half session. So if you are interested in learning Shutterwalk Shaman, that is a very good resource. You can check that in the VODs. And I usually try to stream Sunday nights, and sometimes I throw in a midweek stream, you know, when I can. So check that out as well. And, you know, the UHL finals will be coming. I don't know if I'm going to be casting those, but I did cast one of the semifinals. You can catch the VOD on their YouTube channel or on their Twitch account. And, you know, do leave reviews on iTunes. I haven't gotten any new reviews as of today, but that's fine. But, you know, if you do have the time and you can leave a review, it helps a lot in terms of finding people being able to find the show. And, you know, obviously I prefer the 5-star reviews, but whatever you're going to give, you know, be honest, and that's fine. And, you know, I do appreciate, you know, hearing that people listen and hearing that it's helping. You know, if you do, you know, you hit lunch, you want to give me a shout out, that kind of warms the cockles of my heart too. If it's the first time and this helped you at all, that, you know, it's nice to know that you're being helpful. You know what I mean? Anyway, so, that is all I have for this week. I hope that you are excited for reveal season in a couple weeks. I hope you're, you know, have good luck on the ladder or achieving whatever your goals are this month. And, until next time, thanks as always for listening. I know you have a lot of choices for where you can put your Hearthstone listening time, and I appreciate that you come spend it with me on my drive home from work. And, you know, be good to each other. Have a good one. Talk to you soon.